Blog Talk Radio.
Your brother Hodge. I think he said he went to go get a cup of coffee.
Okay, so I guess we can just start it off then, because he has the controls, so that when the next call is called in, we can start letting them in.
Okay.
I was shuffling through some notes this morning, so I can add to the show. I came across a couple of different. Some interesting comments, you know, things that I'd like to add to the show today.
Okay, good morning, everybody. This is Kenny Hodge with Hodge the Hodge Podcast Radio. We are doing a special show this morning. We did a series last week, and we're continuing on talking about race relations in America. It's just funny, it's sad, but it's something we need to discuss, how Black Americans are still not looked at as full-fledged Americans. When I say full-fledged Americans, I'm saying Americans that the Constitution was written about. When they talk about all men are created equal, well, we wasn't a man then, and we're still not a man today. Now, I've got a very interesting cast today with us, host of folks calling in. We've got Brother Al out of Jersey. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
And we got Brother Jake out of Jersey also. How you doing, Brother Jake?
Good morning. Good morning, Brother Hodge. How are you today?
I am great. Throughout the podcast, as additional callers call in, I'm going to go ahead and we'll take a break and cue them in so we can find out who they are and where they're from. But let's jump right into our subject. Let's jump right into our subject for this morning. And that subject is race relations in America. Do you brothers think that this year, 2018, that all is equal with every American person?
Oh no, not by any means matter. No, no way. You know, it's getting worse than it has ever been. With the brutal police killings, and you know who we have there and sitting in the White House. You know, they're going by his structure, and I'm hearing now that, you know, a lot of white supremacists are starting to run for offices and different things like that. So, you know, their racism is coming out the woodwork. We always knew it was there, but now it's really starting to show its ugly head.
And I can't agree.
I do agree. I do agree with Brother Jake there. I see, this is what I see. This is Brother Al speaking. What I see also is that from every president, even I have to say this, even President Bush, when the country was divided, he tried to bring everybody together. But this president, he seems to put a wedge between, so it almost makes it acceptable to have this differences. He makes it tolerable, I should say, so that everybody feels like it's okay to be racist or to be, you know, what they say, bringing back Make America Great Again, which means to me, bring it back to where it was in the 30s, in the 20s, 50s, and so forth, when blacks were separated. That's my opinion.
Well, and I agree with both of you, brothers, because everybody knows the fact that the current commander-in-chief sits in office, and his campaign, in fact, his whole life, it's nothing but one big messed up racial story through his businesses, through his shows. I mean, again, he don't hide the fact. And I think that when the president, he emboldens the rest of the nation, because if the president's a racist, well, he's going to make sure that my racism can be heard. I don't have to keep that silent anymore, because the individual at the top tells me it's okay to display it. Now, one thing I before I go ahead and start taking questions, one thing I noticed yesterday, I watched Shalimar the God on Bill Maher, and he made a very interesting point, and that is Trump's got enough money so his racism can be outward. You know, so no matter what Trump does as a racist, he got enough money that his life is still going to be all right. But all these other racist people in America that's letting their racism life work, even with Roseanne, she lost that TV show, but she's still going to be all right.
Exactly.
Yeah, so again, because, their racism comes out. America smacks their hand, but they're still racist and they still got money. But for the average racist who can't afford to lose their job, see, that's the example that they're setting that's going to cause a distinction, a differentiation between most of the white folks who feel that way. If you got money, you can let it be known. You can speak your racism out, because no matter what the system does to you, your money going to make you still all right.
Right.
I agree with
that.
This is
Brother Jake again, but that thing with Roseanne, you know, when she said was blaming on the Ambien, if I was the makers of Ambien, I'd go out and sue her.
Exactly. I would too. I don't know if you remember, when was that? I think it was 1990, I think it was, when she did that Star Spangled Banner over there and with the Padres.
Right.
Remember she sung that, you know?
Yeah.
Now, listen, I'm not comparing apples to grapes or whatever. I don't even know how this lady can even be talking with that shit that went on after the president said that them football players are mothers and sons of bitches and they should be deported. I don't even know how she can even have a job, let alone if this country is so patriotic with racism. I mean, am I right? How can we even be talking about her after that? She should have been left somewhere, you know, where they found her at, to be honest with you. But this is what happens in this country. It seems like some of us get pardons when others of us, you know, we have to wear that crime forever. You know what I'm saying? I guess that's what the system is set up to be.
Well,
I call it institutionalized racism.
Well, it's not supposed. That's what the system is set up. And we as Black Americans, we have to remember, and again, I say this, and I say this with conviction, nothing in North America was set up for our enjoyment. We are always the byproduct of some other shit that they did to help some misfortunate white Americans out that we get the leftovers on. There isn't hardly anything in this nation that was designed for the improvement or the equalization of mistreatment for the Black man in America. Nothing.
That's so true.
We get byproducts. We get leftovers. We get scraps. But what it is we are such a, and again, because of our history, we are such a ingenious people that we figure shit out very quickly. And I used yesterday as an example, let's look at welfare. That wasn't created to help Black Americans out. That was for four poor white families. You know, I was doing a depression. But again, we understood the system, and then we mastered the system, and we took that system to a different place right now. But you know what? We're still not the majority number of people on welfare.
That's true.
But propaganda has it in this country where it makes look like the African Americans are the most disadvantaged people on welfare, though, and that's propaganda.
That's what it is. Go ahead, brother.
That goes back to what I was saying before about institutionalized racism, because I feel that a lot of this is put into into businesses. It's put into corporate structure. So that way, you can direct it how you want it to see fit. You understand what I'm saying? Situations are already set up just so you can have that. You can say, you see, it's already there. I give you an example. when you look at people and they say that, you know what, I've heard the comment, why do so many black women have so many children out of wedlock, knowing that that they're going to have to be put on welfare? And I thought about that, and it's not the case where they're doing it to be put on welfare. I think that goes back to the slavery. I think a lot of our ways that our hood ways were driven into us from the slaves, which means that our men were made to look like we weren't worth anything. So what happened is that the women had to go out there and try to find the best ones to survive. And if it meant, you know, she had to share, she would do that. And I think that's why you see a lot of women, they keep seeking men, and then they'll have a baby, they don't seek enough. And I think, but that was, that mentality was put into us as a group. You know, you guys understand what I'm saying here? I think we do things subliminally. We don't even know why we're doing it. But I really believe it's because it was a slave mentality. You understand that?
Yeah. And
go ahead.
Sorry, brother. But a lot of things, what happens today, I think, with the young people is that, you know, they just find something, some type of pleasure, because maybe they're in a not so good of a place, and you know, it may be sex that is that pleasure for them, and you know, they get themselves into a situation where, you know, they you know, I don't think African Americans really believe in abortions, you know, so you know, it happens where they do have children out of wedlock and children at a young age and whatnot. You know, so I think it just goes, you know, we have to be able to educate and sit down and talk to people, talk to the young folks that, you know, there's better ways and better avenues to find your pleasure, you know, through education and you know, making things just better for yourself, you know. I think that's what happens to a lot of young folks, get caught up in that situation.
We took the conversation from racism in America, and now we're talking about solutions, which I think, you know, is on all of us anyway. Because the way I see it, we can talk about it, but we have to find figure out ways to try to also, you know, try to make some changes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And right. Brother Jake is correct. You know, we've gotten so far away from what, you know, knowing what's right, that we just allow all this wrong shit to continue. And like I think it's like that old smoking screen. Like, you put up something to get everybody distracted, while and this continues to go on. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be long winded, but the longer we talk about racism, which is going to continue to go on, I don't hear nobody saying who is the next Democratic candidate that's going to be trying to push this man out of here. We're being distracted by this stuff. The media is working almost with them, and we're not even preparing to get him out of here. So we're going to be doing this for, what, another 4 years after this? Another? Come on now. You see, it's all distraction.
And, you know, and this is where, again, our roots come into play, or our history come into play, because all throughout history, one thing that the black American is known to do, but we'll have a march or a rally in a minute on something, man. We'll get motivated. But again, and then it dies down. But that's a very interesting point, Brother Al, about who are we putting in position? Who are we putting in place that's going to – what Democrat is out there right now that should be campaigning to start to mobilize the Democrats to get back together so we can bring – and it's so sad that I'm going to say this – we could bring a less evil form of government back to the United States. Because again, even when Barack was in there, you would think that, hey, here come the black man, we on our way up. But that didn't really happen. I mean, don't get me wrong. It happened. And some of the things that Barack did for us, again, we may never feel it for years down the line, but I'm sure, and again, I'm sure that brother put some things in place that's going to sustain, that's their design for black Americans.
When you look at the unemployment rate, you know, this administration is taking credit for it. But when Obama already had that in place before he left, he had people in Congress that were fighting against him. They said day one that we ain't gonna do nothing to help this nigga. Come on now.
What's it?
Day one.
That's what they said, and they held on to it. I don't care what he wants. If he say he want to give. Go ahead, brother.
No, that's because they were in power, like I said, and you still have nobody right now challenging none of this. We're talking about every day you turn on your television, there's some racist situation going on. I don't see no Democrats standing up and saying nothing about it. I don't see no one saying nothing. Somebody right now should be standing up saying something so that way we can at least get behind them for this next election. That's what I feel right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. I think we're running out of time is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I had thought Joe Biden was going to stand up and, you know, try to make a push to be the next candidate, but I don't hear much from him anymore, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
If he's still around, because he's up in age, Bernie Sanders is trying to make a comeback. And again,
mm-hmm.
And I would not be surprised if Hillary tried to make a comeback.
I wouldn't, you know what, me and my wife, we joked about Cory Booker, you know. My wife said he's going to be the first gay one, so, but, you know, but I don't mean to speak like that about Cory, man. You know.
Everybody loves his passion.
Black, I love his passion, though, you know what I mean, he's very passionate, you know.
Yeah.
But he said himself that he doesn't want to run. But we need somebody to challenge this administration. Otherwise, we're going to continue to have this conversation. And it's only going to get worse. You know?
Well, now watch this. When you dig deep inside the heart of white America, they ain't really too upset right now. See, therein lies our problem. We can talk about it. But they're not really ready to get behind Donald Trump and move his ass up out of office. Why? Because subliminally, they are thrilled at the shit that he's doing. I'm sorry. And I don't mean that on a widespread, but more than not. This is why you don't see that. You let Donald Trump have been a black man doing the kind of stuff that he did right now. Oh, there'd have been a whole lot of sad song and hard shoe wearing already. You know, we'd have been already, putting somebody in the dirt.
Exactly. You're right about that, Brother Hodge. He basically has separated America from the rest of the world.
Yes, it has. See, and again,
I mean,
now that
right.
They're rolling big dice right now.
Yes. He issued tariffs on Mexico and Canada.
And Canada's saying, why us? Canada's saying, we don't bother nobody. What's the matter?
Exactly.
What's it? Hey,
nice
I thought.
Is.
I thought we were your friends.
Exactly.
He ain't doing none of that. But again, there's no big rush to come at him because subliminally, and if you think about this concept, if I'm a white man in America, I didn't cause racism. I didn't cause slavery. And you know what? I don't want to give up any of my entitlements so that you might be equal or even to where I am. I'm not the one that's hurting you. So this is how they justify. I'm not the one that's hurting you, but I'm not trying to give up anything that I have so that you can be equal. Come on, that's just not smart from a white male's perspective.
I never understood that racism when they talk about, like, you know, Mexicans taking you know, your job. Most of the, you know, what's so sad is that most Americans don't even want to work the jobs that the Mexicans work with you. When the last time you saw a black landscaper? Brothers don't do stuff like that. I don't want to be honest with you. You know, brothers ain't trying to
be out there.
We'll
cut our own grass.
Exactly. But you don't see, and if you see a white landscaper, I happen to know one, he hired a Mexican, but he can't even get white people to do that. I'm telling you, he told me
right
he has. What happened?
I said he sits in the truck.
He told me he had trouble hiring white folks to do it. So I don't know what nobody's talking about with these Mexicans taking nobody's job. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That to me, that's just some excuse to be racist and to find somebody else to say something about.
But here's
you know?
The kicker to that, Brother Al. I was in a seminar in California about 2 weeks ago. About 40% Mexican Americans in there. And let me tell you, this blew my mind.
Mm.
Of the 40% of Mexican Americans that was in that conference, about 35 of them, watch this, still speaking broken English. I'm saying that's how new they are. There may be one generation out of Mexico and was adamant about deporting Mexicans and stopping Mexicans from coming into the United States. And I'm going to tell you something. When I heard, thank you. Thank you. And I'm sitting here like, whoa. Yes. I mean, and that just blew my mind. I'm sitting there, and finally I got to the point where I'm supposed to be a facilitator of this conversation. But I got to the point, and I said to the people there, this really is a little different for me right now. Because once I seen the audience or the participants in this seminar, I just knew we was going to have a motivational rally. Let's get Trump out of office. And let immigration and have immigration reform laws. But most of those people in there, man, not in favor of immigration. And I'm sitting there asking them, you know, one generation ago, you wouldn't have been here. Now, the fact that this is what bothers me when I see black people jumping on that bandwagon to have anybody or any group, any kind of segregation.
Right.
But you know what that is, man. That's just it's better to pretend like you with them than to act like you against them. That's all that is, bro.
Come on, man.
Come on, you know what that is, man. Can you imagine somebody? Because a lot of groups are not strong enough to really stand up and say fuck you. We ain't going no goddamn way. And a lot of groups ain't afraid to say something like that. You know what I'm saying? Because you got so many different agents. Because if you are dirty, there's some agencies out there that would find your ass, you know, like that ICE shit. ICE would get you in a heartbeat. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of them are afraid to say it. So if you in this country and you might as well, I mean, and hear me out. Now, there are some that did everything the right way, if you want to say it, where they came in and they legally, you know, were brought, you know, a citizenship and all of that. There are some that did that. But those who say that, I guess they have that mentality like I got away from it, so now I'm uppity, or so to speak.
There you
know?
Go. That's just what the mentality was.
But quiet as kept, I don't know if many people know, one of the richest men in the world is a Mexican. I don't know if many people know that. And a little short, bearded dude with a pot belly, looked like he unshaved. This cat owns all of the Digicel in Latin America, Central America, Latin America, that Digicel. Yes, he owns so much stuff. It's unbelievable. He's one of the richest men in the world. Just look it up. I think his first name is Carlos Slim is his name. Yeah. Now, look at the irony. But I've never heard him say anything in this wall bit that Trump talks about. I haven't heard one word from him. He's alive, too. Like I say always, I challenge people to look it up. He hadn't said one thing. I would love to hear what he's saying about Mexicans and so forth. He's one of the richest men in the world. I think I told you about that, Brother Jay, right?
Yeah, you have. Yes, you have.
Yo, tell you, he is so, he's
thing,
so well. Go ahead.
No, I'm not. One thing also about the Hispanic racism is that, you know, it's not just it's about Mexicans. I think that the Mexicans feel that they're more planted in this country than any other Hispanic nationality. I think their racism goes towards the Dominicans, goes against the Peruvians, Colombians, anybody else like more south of Mexico. They have issues with coming into this country. And, you know, it's silent, but I see it in my job where, you know, they don't, you know, it's not like they have a community amongst each other. They always are separate, you know, within their own little cliques, within their own little national cliques. Yeah, that I think that's where that's coming from, Brother Hodge, when you may have went to that seminar. Yeah, I think that's what it is also. It's strange how racism, you know, hits every creed and color, you know, around here in this country.
Every. When you over in DR and you go to the hotel, all of the maids in the hotel are dark. Those are the Haitians. Haitians or they're dark Dominicans. Because it's and they mix with the African black over there. You know what I'm trying to say?
Right.
So everywhere you go, you're gonna have that's by design. That was by the slave trade. That was all done. That was all instilled throughout the world. Racism was spread from the slave trade.
I wasn't the only one. Brothers, I know I wasn't the only one that heard this. When our African brothers come over here, they always call us lazy and spoiled.
Well, see, that's because what I said, they took us out of Africa so many generations ago that, you know, like when Marcus Garvey had his movement, go back to Africa. I want to say, bro, I ain't never been to Africa. You know, I'm called an African American, and I am so many generations out of Africa. I mean, so really, and I don't knock the term, but I'm a black American.
Right. That's all
African
you know.
Yeah.
That's all you know.
Come on,
right.
Go back to Africa. You sent the black people from North America to Africa. There'd be problems over there because I've been to Africa and they ain't looking at us like we their brother.
No,
they not.
No.
Like Brother Al, you hit me onto the Vice Channel. But there are some, like I saw on the Vice Channel, there were some sisters over there. I think they were born in America, but they have their African roots, and they went back to Africa, and they have started businesses over there, you know.
Yeah,
and
some clothing line. Yeah, I saw. Yeah,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they're trying to create a avenue for other black Americans to come back to Africa to start businesses and different things like that. So, I mean, you know, there are, you know, ways to downplay that racism or that hatred towards one another and whatnot. You know, it can happen. It's just that people have to put their minds, you know, as far as have a little bit more open-minded about creating new things and, you know, more love for one another than this hatred that this president is spreading.
You see, and those are the words, Brother Jake. And again, and I know it might sound crazy because it's so funny because in this day and age, most people think that when the revolution come up again, it's going to be a different ending than the ending that ended us in chains. And I don't speak in favor of it, but it's going to be a little different ending. But that's that's an element that you never hear somebody talk about, and it is that element of love. Because in today's white society, and again, most of the kids growing up have black friends. And if you think about it, when we grew up, every once in a while you had a black friend in there, but for the most part, your friends looked just like you because your friends lived in the same area that you lived in. It didn't mean that anybody was teaching us separation or racism, but it just wasn't there. Where I grew up, there wasn't a whole lot of white folk that lived there.
Right.
So all my friends look just like me. And what happens is at an early age, I begin to see that everybody I'm with is my skin color. So now what happens when, and again, we as a black American, we still have that innate character in us that says, even though white America has done nothing to deserve our love, they still get it, and that's still left over from the slave trade.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, bro.
No, I was going to say for myself, growing up in the city, you know, I can say that it was more like a melting pot, though, because I grew up in New York, and I was able to be around all different types of people. you know, and you know, I didn't really start understanding racism, believe it or not, until later on, because I didn't see that in the city. You know what I'm saying? New York, it's, for my time, I don't know, right now it's a lot different. It's a lot more segregated. But during my time of growing up in the city, that you had neighborhoods, but you also had neighborhoods that were mixed people. Everybody was from a, you know, Spanish, white. You had all different types. And one, I mean, within blocks of each other or streets of each other. So it was a different type of rearing for me. But when I started seeing, I really didn't understand racism until I was in the military and in my basic training, when I had said what I just said to you and to an individual, and he was a white cat, and he got pissed off that I had said that this was my first job. He called me all type of niggas and everything. I had to put it on his ass, you know what I mean? But it was what it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but that's the God's honest truth. So what I say,
brothers, my experience as far as growing up when I was younger, I knew racism was out there. My parents were very conscious of it being out there. I was born in 1961, so still being at a young age, seeing a lot of things on TV in 67, 68, and 69, the Kennedys getting assassinated, Martin Luther King Jr. getting assassinated.
Right.
You know, vivid images still of seeing the hatred of African Americans down there and down south, you know, people trying to vote and whatnot. You know, I knew racism was down there. I was born in Elizabeth. My parents moved us to Roselle, where, you know, it seemed like the white folks was moving out of Roselle. A lot of black families were moving in. But,
right.
You know, to make, you know, my parents were trying to make me and my brother's life a little bit more better. And I probably took it another step where, as far as my son being raised, I always tell, you know, my friends that he has a multicolored spectrum of friends and whatnot, you know, from white to Indian to Asian and whatnot, you know.
Right.
And I don't think he has experienced racism yet, you know. I always tell him yet, you know, because anything can happen, you know, that you have to be aware of it, you know. I understand that you have love and your friends have love for you, but there is still that racism out there, and you got to be very careful of it.
Yes,
and
you
know what, my brother Jake and brother Al can testify to this. It's so funny. See, now it's probably going to be more shocking or damaging to your son when it hits him in the face, only because I got Indian friends. I got wife. I'm cool with these people. We all cool
right.
with each other. But when you drift outside that circle of people that don't know you, then you just another black individual. And you saying,
and
I grew up with the multicolored friends. Now I got to be separated.
Right.
You see, that's, and again, when I went in the military, I had a little young cat in the Marine. I went to the Marine Corps, and this is no joke. The guy walked up to me, put his hand on my face, and wiped it off. And I swear to God, this boy told me he wanted to see if it came off. Well, in the same true nature of my man, Brother Al, had to give him some get right. Oh, that little boy got some get right in Marine Corps boot camp.
Exactly.
Now, yeah. Oh, I gave him some get right. But watch this.
Right.
Now I'm nervous because I'm thinking I got to go to the brig.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, this man came up here, put his hand up. I mean, just disrespected me like I was a piece of trash. And now I got to go to jail because I tuned him up. But, you know, again,
right.
Marine Corps, my drill sergeant, who was a white man. So, again, when I say white, it ain't 100%. Nothing's absolute. Sent the little boy to the brig and told me going back over to the platoon.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm thinking the worst is about to come to me. But, again, he stepped up, and he was a white man. I said, listen, I understand what you did. In fact, you want me to give you 3 more minutes with him before I call the MPs?
Right. And not to cut you off, and in
go ahead,
my
brother.
Story, when I reported my issue, I was reporting to my female drill sergeant, who was a female drill sergeant, mind you, on an all-male base military police, I should say, right? And she was a Mexican. So you know whose side she took. You see what I'm saying? But something just came to mind now that we got off subject a little bit about racism and with military. Let me, all my years of being in the military, I've never really, other than that instance, even had issues with racism. Myself and Brother Kenny here, we served together, and I think that's because of the fact that a majority of our time together, we were running shit, so it was no racism. If it was anything, it was what we were putting up. Am I right, brother? I never really seen that, because I guess it's because it was the job at hand that we were doing. You know what I mean? I didn't exact any racial feelings toward anybody. I saw everybody as being green, as far as I was concerned. And, okay. You know, I don't know whether they felt any way about us on some level or not. We didn't matter to us anyway.
Well, it never mattered. Listen, when they wrote that statement, all men are created equal. They got black folks in the room sweeping up and bringing refreshments. And you talk about all men are created equal. You looking right in my face. And I fully understand you are not talking about me. are not talking about me. And that's a level of hatred, man. That it's going to take years, because that is so tightly interwoven into the fabric of America that it's going to take years. And I said the other night in a different show that interracial marriage is what's going to end. Interracial relationships is what's going to bring a halt to racism in America. Because white people... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think evolution is going to change first. I think what's going to happen, I think everybody's going to be like a mulatto-looking skin. I think everybody's going to look almost the same in complexion. I'm serious. I think mankind is going to correct itself. I think everybody, they said in the future, everyone's going to look the same. Like, it's not going to be no black, it's not going to be no white. I guess it's going to be a bunch of beige Negroes walking around.
Hey,
beige people.
But see, you know what, though? But let me show you how smart, and I give them, it's an evil, sinister type smart. But let me show you how smart Mr. White Man was back in the day. They've already made it law. let me go another way with it. Have you ever noticed that if you are half black, half white, when you fill out a job in an application or you take the census, do you know that if you are half anything, you cannot go white? If I'm half black and half white, the white option is not available to me to check the box anymore. I could be half black, half Japanese. Yes, you figure that. You look at how many half-breed people or mixed generations of people, they wrote it into law. What is it, one black chromosome in you that makes you black?
Right. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen an application in so long, I really don't know.
Yeah, but one black chromosome makes you black. And that was, again, to protect, so that when a slave owner went in and impregnated all these slaves, the slave children, you still black, even though your father owned you, even though your father owned his plantation.
Right.
No,
right.
You don't get to check the white box.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, so again, you can go down.
Right.
But you can't check that white box, though. They'd be like, excuse me, I think you made a mistake on your application, sir. Like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, there are a few commercials out there where you see the interracial couples, you know, which, you know, trying to make a cognizant situation about reality or whatnot. But, you know, yeah, there are a few out there, you know.
Again, we are making progress, but for the years that we've been at this, the progress don't match up to the years of the struggle. But again, any progress is better than no motion. So we take whatever we can take with it.
Yeah, but the funny commercial that comes to my mind is the one, I think it's about a cable company where the black sister is throwing all the white guy stuff out of the apartment.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You gotta show that. Well, don't leave that out.
Yeah, but you know what though? See. for the folks overseas or elsewhere who watch that TV or watch that commercial, see, now what happens is they're starting to understand that, wait a minute, black and whites do live together.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
You see, that's a subliminal message that's right. going to come out of that. Because
right.
there was a while,
right.
there was a time that most people overseas got their opinion of black people from TV.
Yeah.
You as J.J. Walker, you live in a good, you know, everybody pour you in the projects, or you could have been
right.
Sherman Helmsley. You got all that money. You still live in an apartment. You didn't have your house. So there's little things that they did, again, that was intentionally designed. Because I believe from day one, most of white male America got together, and I think collectively they said, here, on this day, we make this solemn promise now and forevermore. We may lose this country to any gender or race of people except that black male. Not going to happen. We'll blow the son of a bitch up first. We'll blow it up first. The black male can't have this country. That's why they was in such an awe when Barack came up on the scene. But let me tell you something to the American public. You've seen what an intelligent, level-headed black man is capable of, and you know what? You didn't even accept that. Now that he's gone, you feel that. But I'm here to tell you, the next president that we get that's going to be black, oh, he going to have some nigga in him, boy. And it might be Corey. Donald Trump has shown the way that you don't have to go by the old standard. Well, excuse me, he didn't have to go by the old standard. But if he was black, they'd have been putting him out already.
No doubt
in my mind about that.
Right.
But he broke the mold. Because as with everything else in life that was not designed for us, we are such an adaptive people that we understand the situation. So now there's going to be somebody black that runs again. I don't need a political background. Trump just shot that whole thing down. No, I don't have to go through the Senate. I don't have to go through the House. I can run on a popularity contest. And now you're going to get one in bruh. You're going to get one in bruhs up in there. Yeah, that's going to make the United States put their own military on 24-hour alert. Because they got it coming back to them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's coming back. But see, and even when it comes back from slavery, we've always been taught that we got to love you. You've done nothing to help or further our cause, but we still got to love you. How Malcolm say, are we sick? Are we okay? And again, that was a joke, but that is so real inside of us.
Yeah. Right. Because we've been taught to be so forgiving and say, and we are a forgiving group of people. I mean,
we really are.
We really are, because if you thought about it, if I were white in America, I'd be scared to come out of my damn house. You know what I mean? Be honest with you. But instead, it's the other way around. But because we know that the system has been put in place where that's not going to happen. You know, they're showing it. They're killing us in the streets to let you know that that's not going to happen. Because they know that we said it's a bunch of pent up frustrations got to be out there, you know. And I don't know no black man in America that don't suffer from PTSD. I don't know no foreign. You have to, man, because you got to feel some kind of something going on here in the world, because you know that the odds are against you, right?
And I tell a lot of my white friends, miss me with the whole you want to talk black history with me. Now, if you're just interested in how I feel, I can tell you that. But you will never be able to talk. I'm sorry. And when I say that, I've got a white friend who's got a doctorate in black history and African studies. I don't care what you got. You can't feel what I feel. You can't describe that, how you got to teach your kid that eventually it's going to happen to you, that you're going to get educated to the fact that you are not as good, you are not equal to the same people you grew up with and play with. In the military, this is what I was telling earlier. In the military, when we talk about this, when you are in the United States, you and that white soldier may never see eye to eye. And this is so funny when both of you get your ass on that aircraft because you're about to go overseas, it's like some magic happens. Right on that airplane, as soon as we leave the continental United States airspace, you start to see, I don't hate you that much. In fact, hey, what's your name now? And again, exactly. We're American soldiers, you know what I'm saying, Brother Al? When we get overseas, we create a bond of America now.
Uh-huh.
And so, and you stay over there a year, you stay over there a year or two, and things are good. And let me show you how warped everything really is. Because when you come back to the States, they may not be as bad as they were with you and that white individual before you left, but they're going to go back in that direction.
Uh-huh.
You know, hey, go ahead.
Brother Kenny, I was sitting around and something came to my mind the other day. I forgot that that other drill sergeant's name. He was a white guy, and when he used to walk up to me and you all the time, you would always yell out, "Stick with your own kind."
Well, who was that, man?
That Italian cat, because he used to do that to us. When we would go over to him, he would say, "Stick with your own kind."
Nunzio.
Oh,
that was Nunzio.
Yeah, Nunzio.
But you know what, though? We did it jokingly because we was all on the same team. But that joke, that was a pun. That wasn't a joke. It was a pun.
Brother Jake, you should have been there, man. We had some times together. Lord have mercy.
Hey, but you know what, though, Brother Al? Again, and Brother Jake, this just goes to show, again, the intellect of the black man. And again, and I don't mean intellect as in we had to matriculate through universities. Here we are, even on the radio show today, talking about the situation, but how do we fix it? Brother Jake threw the word love out there. And again, love is the only thing that's going to fix this mess. But we are still, as a people, in a reconciled state, still always wanting to try to get even. And I tell people, I don't want to make it even. I just want it to be even. You can't pay me back for the years of shit you put me and my mental through. But all I'm saying is, how about if the rules and regulations that are, watch this, not new shit, that are already on the books, if you would just process and prosecute them equally, there'd be no need to change anything. If I can get white America to lose the fact that when they said all men are created equal, that I'm not a man, if I can get them to lose that and see me as a man on a whole basis, then the Constitution, then it becomes a legitimate document. But right now, that's just some bullshit.
Right.
I say, what more can we do? I mean, here we are, a group of brothers that are speaking right here. We're not criminals. We're not that type of society that they say we all are. Right, and yet we're still not satisfied. What more can we do? I mean, you know, think about it. You've done all you can do. You know what I mean? I'm not giving up. But what more could I have done better? Maybe I could have, but I think we've done better than most. But we're still not satisfied. We still don't feel like we got the same piece of that pie that they say is shared with everybody. Am I correct?
Yes.
What more can
That's
I do?
That's a fact. There's, you know what? It doesn't matter what you do. It is already before us been determined that we are still animals. We are still beasts.
Right.
Why? Because our skin tone is different. There is nothing that as a black man, as a black woman in America, we've done to deserve these titles. This was already predestined by white America. And again, we may lose this country to any race of people. But we will not allow the black man. And that's got a lot to do, again, with everything white America has done to keep its foot on the black man's neck. Again, because we are such an adaptive people, we've kind of came around that. Again, we came around that to the point where we had a black man in the White House. So when you look at, you know what I'm saying? That's like when you beat a man every day. But every day he coming back for some more beating. In your mind, you thinking, one day I'm going to go to beat that man, and I'm going to be sore from the beating that I already gave him, and he going to rise up on me, and he going to whip my ass.
That's right.
And I think, and again, I think that that's that internal fear that white America has, and there's no need
right.
for it, really.
What don't kill you make you stronger, right? That's the philosophy that I have adopted.
Yeah.
That's the philosophy that I've adopted.
That's why the average black man could lift a building right now.
That's right. That's what I tell people all the time. That's what I use that analogy every day. Every day. And from my personal life on. What doesn't kill me is just making me stronger. So
yeah.
Come on with me. You know what I mean? I like a good. Y'all all know I like a good fight every once in a while. I'm not happy unless I'm digging up with somebody's ass. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. You know. So that keeps me grounded. But I guess. You see, in speaking in slave reference, I don't think I would have been allowed to be around too many of the other slaves because I would have been one of the ones getting them riled up.
You'd have been the one. Hey, Brother Al, you'd have been the one that they said right now, nope, he's big, he's muscular, but he's going to be a matchup problem.
Yeah,
he's going to be a matchup problem.
He's got to lose a foot or something, because, he got to lose a foot, because this thing ain't going to be out here. You know, see, I already know that. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you a question, though, and this is just a question on what do you think. What do you think it's going to take, again, to make it equal in this country, or do you think it's never going to be equal here?
Brother Jake, go ahead.
It's hard to say, but you know, I mean, it's going to take you know, people, you know, getting out there and voting. You know, I mean, it happened with Barack Obama, and I don't know why it didn't happen. You know, I understand Hillary. You know, why it may not have happened, but you know, it's going to take, you know, a movement in the political, you know, more political awareness, you know, as far as starting in your little cities and different things like that, you know, where people have to be more conscious of, you know, who is in office and making decisions as far as even, you know, it goes as far as police brutality, what type of a attorney general we putting in there and different things like that, you know, I think it really has to start right there, you know. We have that power to vote, you know. A lot of us doesn't. We don't use it. We really don't. We take it for granted, you know.
That's right.
We just want to come home, maybe do our 9-to-5, and you know, watch our reality TV shows, and that's it. And we're happy with that. But it's have to, you know, start with our political process and be very conscious of that. Go ahead, brothers.
Well, me, it's just my opinion. I hate to say this, but I think the only thing that's going to bring this country back together again, unfortunately, is a war. And I say that because this country was so patriotic the day after 9/11. Everybody was loving each other, and we were America.
Yes.
Everybody felt
yes.
that sense, you know. And right now, we ain't even arguing with nobody. Ain't nobody – we ain't met – first of all, where are the terrorists at? You don't even hear about no terrorists even trying to do nothing because the terrorists are sitting back laughing. Terrorists are saying they're fighting with each other. You know what I'm saying? Really, think about it. There's no fear. There's nothing to threaten us. You got white America doing enough killing in this country. And Russia involvement, everything. We're so disjointed right now. We don't even hate nobody outside here. And if we do, you don't hear it. We hate each other. So think about it, man. I mean, I'm being honest with you. We run out of people to be arguing with right now. We're doing it with each other.
Brother Al, 9/11 was that created or did that actually happen from another country hating us? That created?
Well, I think what it was, I don't know if it was, yes, if you want to say it was created, yes, we did have a hand in it. And I say that because of the fact that we went after a country really didn't even create 9/11, if you thought about it, because all of those hijackers were Saudi Arabians, right? Think about it, right? We didn't go fight Saudi Arabia, right? Bin Laden wasn't even from Iraq or Afghanistan. He was a Saudi. So if you think about it, it was created, and we created him by allowing him to be who he was. In fact,
right.
when we were helping them fight the Afghanistan against Russia, we were training them in some of the tactics that were used against us later on. So
right.
Yes, we did have a hand in it, and it was we always have a hand in what goes on in this country.
Brother Al, this way, don't say we.
Because we don't have anywhere near that type of authority.
The United States is always going to be involved in something,
okay.
And it's always going to be some sort of financial gain or whatever. Right.
And so you hit that magic word. You hit that magic. Brother Jake, you came with a special word with love. And Brother Al, you came with that word that's going to stop any type of progress or equality in this nation. And that is finance. As a nation, we have become such a slave to the dollar bill that it don't matter what it is, man. It's for sale.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what it is. It's for sale.
Yep.
And when we look at, again, we look at the drug business. Now that instead of it's just Bobo and Shook Shook on the corner shooting drugs, now you got these rich white stockholders.
So
guess
now.
What?
Right.
It ain't going anywhere because now it's profit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, brother. Yeah. So again, we in a real, and I tell people because I fight for this country and because I live here, I've been many places. I don't know that I want to live anywhere but right here. So I got a right to speak out against where I live. I got
I
a right to let people know.
Right.
And you know what's funny? How we try to go around the world and be peacekeepers. We want to put sanctions on other countries and nations for treating their people wrong. Back in the day, invested in apartheid. But apartheid was America's long reach saying to themselves, man, if we wouldn't have listened to that bullshit, we could have still had that over here. That's why it took so long for that. Yeah.
Exactly.
They looked at South Africa with shit. Man, we could be right there, man. And we listened to that bullshit on everybody equal.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, cast audience, we got 2 minutes left before our hour is up. So, Brother Jake, go ahead and take us home with closing remarks.
Well, you know, I just want to thank Brother Hodge and I want to thank Brother Al for, you know, letting me join on and whatnot. It's been very enjoyment, very enlightening. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, things get better for my son, you know, for everybody else's children. You know, I think I look at things within my own perspective as far as even like, the relationship I had with my father, you know, he didn't grow up with a father. So I think making steps, each step a little bit better than maybe what I had, it make it better for my son, you know. And I think that's the way I view the world, just making steps better, you know, from the way that we grew up to when our children grow up, things will be better, you know. And
right.
That's my closing remarks, gentlemen.
All right, go ahead, Brother Al. Bring us home, man.
I want to say ditto to what Brother Jacob said. That
you got about 30 seconds,
in order for what we're doing, we need to continue to have conversations among each other like this. And peace and blessings to everyone. And see you soon.
Hey, listen, this is Ken Hodge about to sign off from Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio. Brother Jake, Brother Al. We can get together more often to have this conversation. But again, our conversation, the black man conversation starts out with the wrong that has been brought up on us, but it usually always ends up in a conciliatory fashion on how can we make this better so that my kids, so it makes it a little bit better for my kids. Hey, podcast audience, I appreciate you being with us today. We had a great show, and we'll talk to you later.